So good morning, church. Let's get into the Word. We're taking this summer and we're looking at the theme based on Pastor Jim Cimbala's book, Strong Through the Storm. Strong Through the Storm, that's the name of the book. And I really believe that this summer what God is speaking, so if you're missing it, if you're not here in the church, you're not watching us online, and you're just tuning in, go back, please, and watch these messages on YouTube or listen to them online and get these things in your heart, because I believe that God is speaking some powerful things to our church again this summer for where we are as a body and for what God wants to do in our midst. Can you believe that with me? So here is a little review. We've been saying that Christ needs to be the center of everything that the church is doing today, that the church should not be doing anything without Christ being the center. We're going to bring that into our focus in today's message as well. He should be the center of our worship. He should be the center of our gathering. He should be the center of our work and anything else that we do in the church. He should be the center of our prayer. He should be the center of our fellowships. He should be the center of our men's group and our women's groups and our children's groups. It's time for the church to stop playing the religious game. If we go back to the first message in this series, you know what I'm talking about. Because the answer to the situations that the world is looking for, church, listen to me, it is not found in religious activity. It is only found in Jesus. And so we're believing that God is going to move in this church, but we need this church to stop playing the games and to get serious with the things of God. And unfortunately, the church in America is failing. We're failing those that are coming to us. We're failing those who are hungry. We're failing those who are spiritually depraved. We're failing those who are spiritually a deficit in godly things. We're failing those because we don't even have the help that we need in our own lives to be able to help others. We said that it's time for the people of God to figure out what they really believe and in whom or what they believe in. Now, if you are a true believer in God, then you know it should be a who. But unfortunately, many Christians are believing in what? They're believing in things. They're believing in money. They're believing in the systems of this world. They're believing in the nightly news. And so, we got people all over the place. We have people committed to all different kinds of things that they should not be committed to because of what they're listening to and because of who's speaking in their life. Then we looked at the hesitancy that so many Christians have when it comes to moving out in the power of God. We talked about the fear, right? We talked about the confusion and the misunderstandings sometimes that people have about the things of God. And how really what is happening at the crux of this thing, really what is happening is the enemy is hindering the believer from being able to fight the battle that he's bringing against them. And so we have a church that is not winning the battle. So how are we going to win souls? We have a church that is falling apart. We have a church in America that's just soft and is just unable to gather up their spiritual muscles and to go forward. And so the enemy's having a heyday. We have so many hesitant believers in this country that are hesitant in not wanting to step out into the things of God. And we said that this is God's church and that he needs to be free to build it. It's not my church. And no matter what we think, he knows how to empower her. He knows how to equip her so much greater than we could ever do with our money, with our programs, or with anything else that we do. We said that we need to allow the Lord to direct everything that we do. And when we allow him to do so, we said that we will meet in a building that is full of God's Holy Spirit, the power, amen, and the power thereof. And people would react to that. We said that we will have leaders who are sold out to Jesus Christ. We said that we will have words and ministry that are going to flow in each and every service from the time that these leaders and ministry leaders spend in the Lord. There's going to be powerful words and ministry come forth. We said that we will experience a fresh grace in our lives. And our ministry, that fresh grace would be in our ministry, and that fresh grace would also be evident in our gatherings. How many know we need a fresh grace from the throne room of God tonight? We saw that the church needs to get back to prayer. And not just regular prayer, but fervent prayer. Fervent prayer that is effective, fervent prayer that is done in the Master's presence, fervent prayer that is empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that's alive, amen? It's a prayer that means something. It's a prayer that gets answered. It's a prayer that shakes heaven. It's a prayer that shakes earth. It's the prayer that's answered. And then last week, we looked at how our effectiveness to do good works in Jesus flows only from our time spent with Jesus. So we have to be spending time in church. We have to be spending time with gatherings of saints. We have to be in these circles, in these places where people are gathering. And then what happens is that presence of the Lord, that time spent with God, that will flow, those good works will flow from out of this place, out of our gatherings together, and those good works will touch our world and make a difference in people's lives. Okay? And the points under that message last week were, our good works come from what God is doing in us, amen? And what is done in us now will be done through us later. What is done in us now will be done through us later. So what are you asking God for? What do you need done in your life? Trust that as he heals you and as he prepares that thing in your life and as he works you through that area, that you're going to be moved out to see that thing now go through you and touch others and minister to others in their lives. All right, so let's get into today's message. I've entitled it, The Man in the Middle. The Man in the Middle. And again, we are continuing our series with Strong in the Storm. Amen. Turn with me to today to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Lord, just add your blessing to your word, as I've already prayed, and let your words be clearly and loudly into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the sons, 1 Samuel 2, 12 to 17. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priests, they're the priests. These are the leaders, the spiritual leaders. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart's desire," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." These are the priests. They had prescribed ways of doing the sacrifice. It was not throwing out a three-prong hook into the pot to pull it in. They had segments of the meat that would be brought that would go to them. "Oh, but we don't like boiled meat." Well, tough luck. That's what God gave you. Amen? What kind of pastor would I be if I stood behind you? You know what? Not even about me. I know a story so long ago, and maybe I've told it here before. I'm sure I have. I don't know where it was. I can't even remember who told me, so I know it's not going to affect anybody in our church. There was a young pastor, a youth pastor, a young man who came out of Bible college. A church took him on as a youth pastor. Naturally, youth pastors don't get a whole lot. At least back then, they didn't. Now, there's unbelievable, exorbitant salaries that are paid to youth pastors. But whatever. Times have changed. I get that. But anyway, this young man came. He didn't have a good car. He had had the car that he went through Bible college with. It was a pretty ratty car. It was falling apart. And so a man in the church purchased him a car. Now, he didn't purchase him a Cadillac. He didn't purchase him a four-wheel drive SUV. He purchased him a little car, a brand new car. This guy had a brand new car that he could drive around, get to where he needed to go, make the meetings, make the youth meetings, and all that he was hired to do. He didn't have to worry about making payments. A gift from God. Do you know that young man gave that car back? He was very upset because he couldn't get the car that he wanted. It was smaller than the car he wanted. It wasn't as powerful as the car he wanted. You know what? What's wrong with people today? You have a car. Somebody blessed you with a car, but it's not the car you wanted. And this is what's going on in the priesthood. They're not getting what they want, and so they're doing things. They're changing God's law to match what they want. And so they say, "I will take it by force." Verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. The sin of the young priests was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So what these priests did is they made the people who were bringing the offerings hate bringing the offerings because the people knew what was going on was wrong. They didn't want to bring their offerings to feed the priests the way the priests wanted to eat. And so now, not only do you have priests that are wrong, but you also have people who don't want to bring their sacrifices, who don't want to come to the church. And I believe that we have that today. And I bring these scriptures up because this is what Pastor Jim Cimbalo was speaking to. And I can't imagine writing a chapter of a book about other people in ministry. I love that he included himself in it. But it had to be a hard chapter to write because you don't want to judge anybody. But you do want to speak to the problems. Amen? And so here we read just some of the things that were going on in this corrupt priesthood. And there was much more happening. I mean, they are having sexual relations with the prostitutes outside the at the temple door. I don't get how we had temple prostitutes in worship because it wasn't something that God said, but apparently it had happened. And whatever the compromise with the world was, it's a mess. If you can see the temple, it's a mess at this point. And so these are the things that are happening. But the point is, is that as the priesthood went, this is what Pastor Jim says, as the priesthood went, so did the nation of Israel. And that's his main point in chapter 5. As the spiritual leaders of the church go, so do the people in the pews. And that's why I've asked you in the last couple weeks to keep me in prayer, to pray for my ministry, to seek God's face for your pastor, that I would be a pastor who leads with integrity, with wholeness, with health in my life, and that I would be a pastor that would not chill the atmosphere of our church or bring compromise to the atmosphere of our church. But as I go, so will this church, so will you. And so pray for me that I can lead you in the things of Christ, that I can lead you in the power of the Holy Spirit, that I can lead you in the Word of God so that we would be the church that Jesus wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Now, if you read the chapter, you know that what Pastor Jim's speaking about. You get the picture. In fact, I think he says it like this. The people were a reflection of those in charge. And I will tell you today that he is totally right. I've already said that, but let me say it again. He is totally right. The church is a lot like the nation of Israel back then. We are half asleep, and more Christians today are lacking spiritual discernment. There are Christians today sitting in pews that don't even know how to pray over a hangnail. All they need to do is cut the hangnail off, but they want to pray about it. They don't know how to pray about it. They have no power in their lives. They're asleep, and they're lacking spiritual discernment. But that's not where I want to go today. I do want to say that I think it would be good for all of us here at this church in ministry positions to read this chapter again and to maybe write things down to make sure that we're getting what Pastor Jim Cimbala is saying, because I do believe that people in ministry are going to be judged at maybe a higher level than others are going to be judged for what we are in charge of. And I've shared those messages and those thoughts with you before. But what I want to do today is I want to keep the message relevant to regular church attending people, not just ministry. Brothers and sisters, in the gathering of the saints, I want to look at one thing and I want to break it down that so that it becomes relevant to all of our lives. Does that make sense? So if you're a brother and sister, you're sitting in our church, what I want to do is take what Pastor Jim is speaking to leaders, I want to break it down to what God says about what people in the church, what they should be, what the quality of their life should be. Now remember, the thought of chapter 5 is the quality of spiritual leadership. I want to look at how those qualities of spiritual leadership flow out into the lives of those under the leaders and how those under the leaders become the church, the people that God wants them to be. So, first and foremost, my first main point, there needs to be a passionate concern. Write that down. I need to have a passionate concern. If we are going to be effective church for the kingdom of heaven, then we need to know what the kingdom of heaven is concerned about. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is concerned about you today. The kingdom of heaven is concerned about you today. The kingdom of heaven, those that are online, is concerned about you today. Are you concerned about you spiritually? God is concerned about us. He wants to know that we are growing in our walk with him. He wants to know that we are becoming stronger in our spiritual walk. He wants to know that we are developing our prayer life. God is concerned about us. He wants to make sure that his word is taking root in our hearts. He wants to make sure that we're not just reading words on a page, but that we are getting something that we can digest that will make us stronger and healthier in living for him. He sent his son to die for us so that we could overcome. So, are you overcoming? Are you still falling to addiction? Are you still falling to the things that the enemy could use a year ago to trap you up? Are you still there? Then you're not overcoming. We need to be overcoming. We need to be a church that believes in overcoming. We need to be a people that are walking in overcoming. So are you overcoming? Are you growing in the things of God? Because that's what God is concerned about today. Are you doing what you can to build up your spiritual muscles? You know, we go into the gyms, and we have our gyms in our homes, and we invite people into our homes through these Pelotons and through these other things that are hanging on our wall to teach us how to support ourselves. Well, how about just getting alone with the Word of God, getting alone with the Holy Spirit, and working at our spiritual muscles? Are you watching your spiritual diet? What? Are you keeping harmful things away from your walk with your Savior? Are you making sure that you're eating spiritually, digesting spiritually what is whole? That means the people you hang around with, the things that you do, and all those types of things. You've heard the message before. You know what I'm talking about. What are you doing to wake yourself up from the slumber that most of the church is in right now? Are you spending the right amount of time with the Lord for Him to be able to give you the spiritual discernment that you live into this world today? Because Christian, we need a lot of spiritual discernment for this world today. There are things that aren't right. There are things that we don't even know the differences between, and we need to be able to discern them quickly. When we cast a vote, we need spiritual discernment. When we go out and attach ourselves to something in our community, we need spiritual discernment. Those of you that are looking to get married, those of you that are looking to have children, those of you that are looking for college, those of you that are looking for direction in life, you need to have spiritual discernment. What does God say? What is God speaking about this thing? And I'll tell you what, the church does not have it. God is concerned about His church. There is another, God is concerned about you. God is concerned about His church. This is another reason why He cares so much for you, why He's so concerned for you today, because what? He has brought you and made you a part of something bigger than yourself. We are each a part of this church. We are each a part of this family. We lend our giftings and our talents and whatever God gives us to this church, to this family. And so God cares about you because He cares about His church, because He loves His church. God wants His church to be powerful. God needs His church to be effective, to be touching their world with His word. Amen? He doesn't need it to be some weak word. He doesn't want it to be some nice story to tell, but He wants it to be powerful so that when people hear it, they're cut to the core and their lives are changed. Even the hardest criminal can have their heart cut to the core and their life changed when they hear the true, powerful word of God. God's word changes things. He wants the church to be effective, to be changing their world with His spirit. And He doesn't want it to be a spirit of compromise. We're told, oh, you can't hurt this person. Oh, you can't say that today. Oh, you know, you've got to be gentle. No, no. The Holy Spirit is a dove. Yes, it's gentle. But the Holy Spirit also brings change, leads us to Christ. Christ says, have change. And so we need change. So we don't just need a spirit of compromise, but we need a spirit of truth that cuts to the heart of things in our lives and brings restoration to our lives. Amen? The spirit that can bring mankind back to its intended purposes and destiny. That's what we need today. He wants a church that is out on the front lines of the news articles. A church that is on the front lines of the happenings of humanity. A church that is speaking the truth. A church that is living the truth. And a church that is leading others into the truth. That's the church that I know God wants the Abundant Living Church to be. Can you say amen with me? Can you applaud that today? Hallelujah. And say, thank you, Jesus. That's what we're going to do today. Hallelujah. That's the church God wants. My brothers and sisters, if God cares so much about the church, if He has such a passion for the church, if He loves the church, if He has such a design for the church, such a plan for the church, what are you doing today to be an active part of the church like God wants it to be? Where is your passion for the church, for the way that God is passionate about His church? Do you still love getting together with the family every time something is happening on Sundays, Wednesdays, men's group, women's group? Is there a joy in those things? There should be, but I look at the attendance that we have and I gotta say, I don't think that there is. Is it a joy to get there? Is it a joy to be involved in your ministry? Hallelujah. Are you standing back at the door ushering with a smile on your face? Are you downstairs with the children with a smile on your face? Do you sing like you're joyful? Do you play your instrument like you're joyful? Do you speak from the pulpit like you're joyful? Do you take the offering like you enjoy it? Do you look at the children like you're joyful and minister to them? Listen, if God has plugged us into this body for a purpose, which I believe that He has, then we need to have a passionate concern about where the church, our church, Abundant Living Church, is and where the Abundant Living Church is headed. We need to be passionately concerned about the things that we're doing, hallelujah. We need to become passionately concerned about who we are reaching out to. And that brings me to another thing that God is passionately concerned about. God is passionately concerned about the world. Listen to me. God loves your family. He loves your brother. He loves your sister. He loves your uncle. He loves your aunt. He loves your father. He loves your mother, your grandparents, whoever. God loves your family. He loves your children. He loves your neighbors. He loves the neighbor on the left, the neighbor on the right, the neighbor across from you, the neighbor behind you. He loves your neighbors. He loves your coworkers. No matter what you do with them, no matter how much you see them, He loves your coworkers. And He loves your community. And listen to this, God loves the communities of every other nation around the world as well. God loves the world. Why? Because God loves people. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Can I ask you this? Are you concerned about the world today? Well, Pastor, I don't think I can go on a mission trip. I'm not asking you that. Are you concerned about the world today? Maybe you can't go on a mission trip, but you can give to missions. Maybe you can support missionaries. Maybe you can support a team from our church that may go on a mission trip. Are you as loving for those who live around you as you should be? Do you know your neighbors? Do you care about them? Do you care whether they're going to heaven? Do you care whether they may be going to hell? Are you praying for them? Are you seeking times of relationship with them? Are you involved in what they do and know who they are? I pray that you're saying yes to these questions. Because, church, this is really what we are called to do. This is it. This is what God has called the church to do. This is what Eli's sons were not doing. They were not serving people. They were not ministering to people. They were not loving people. They were loving themselves. They stopped my message, if they ever heard it, at point one. God's concerned about you. I said God's concerned about you so that you could see God was concerned about the church, and then you could see that God was concerned about the world. They stopped that God was concerned about you. You're the priest. You should be able to take whatever you want. Just rip the people off. And that's what they were doing. This is what was happening in the priesthood. This is why every church has a pastor. This is why every church has a ministry team, because we're called to lead people to Christ. We are called to lead people to Jesus Christ. In other words, our lives should be leading people to Jesus. Our words should be provoking people to good works in Jesus Christ. We looked at that last week. Our habits, our hobbies should all be something that Jesus can use, because they're turned over to him to introduce himself to our family, to our friends, and to our coworkers. And this is why I've entitled this message, The Man in the Middle. Too many times, our churches function and the way we live our lives lead people to us and not to Jesus. They make us the center of attraction. The things that we want to do, the things that we want to be about, they become more important than what Jesus wants to do and what he is about. But we need to get out of the way, church, and we need to place Jesus in the middle. We need to give Jesus the center seat. We need to give Jesus the place of authority. Hallelujah. For it's not us that they need. How many have found out your friends don't need you? It's nice to be needed. It's nice to be loved. But they don't need you. Maybe they think they need you, but what they need is Jesus. People don't need this church. They may think they need us. Maybe we feed them. Maybe we've given them money to help them out. So they might think they need us, but people don't need this church. People do need a savior. People do need a friend. People need a healer. People need the comforter. And the list could go on. What I'm saying in all of that is to say this. People need Jesus. So we need to put Jesus in the middle of everything we do. Pastor, how do we do that? How do we focus people on him instead of what we're doing? How do we make sure people don't trip over us when they're getting to Jesus? How do we do that? I said it before, but let me break it down a little bit more. My second main point and the last point. I'm not doing 3 points. First point was about Jesus being concerned, having a passionate concern. Second point is this. We lead people to Christ. Wait a minute. You were just going to tell us how to do that. I know, but I need to come back to the point to be able to expound on it. So first, here's what we do to lead people to Christ. 3 things, real quickly. First, we encourage ourselves in the Lord. See, it comes back to us again. I spoke it a little bit ago. The Christ needs to be our total desire, if you remember that message. Probably back in February or March, I spoke that message. Okay? Christ needs to be the center, our desire. I always tell couples in my premarital counseling sessions to please find out who they are. I don't tell them they have to have it all together. I don't tell them they have to have it all figured out. But I tell them at least get something about who you are, why God placed you here before you go into a marriage and mess somebody else's life up. Because if you don't have it together, you're going to mess somebody else up if you come into a relationship like that. So go figure it out. Pray about it. Seek God's word about it. Get a word from God and then go into the marriage together with someone else. So I always tell them that. And it fits right in here with this message, the same thought. We can never lead people to Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we are filled with spiritual insecurities of who we are in Christ. And there are so many believers today with spiritual insecurities. Well, I'm not this yet. Well, I need to be that. Well, I don't match up to this. Well, I don't like this part of the word. I don't like that song. I don't know who I am in Christ. Exactly. So figure that out, because we will never as a church be able to lead people to Christ. We will never as individuals be able to lead people to Christ if we don't figure that out in ourselves first. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to build ourselves up in the Word, and we need to build up our faith first. If we don't have a faith in God's Word, if we don't understand what God's Word says, if we don't believe what God's Word says, if we have insecurities about God's Word, then how are we going to share that Word with those around us? It's impossible. Amen? This is what the sons of Korah do in Psalm 42. Listen to Psalm 42 with me. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God, I need you, is what he's saying. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, listen, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, to the church, with the voice of joy and praise. I praised. I sang the songs on the screen with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. I ate with the church. I fellowshiped with the church. Why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Listen, here's the key. Encourage yourself in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I used to go to church. I used to sing the songs. I used to fellowship with the saints. But my heart got heavy, and I lost that, and I let that go. But hope in God, for I will praise him again, the psalmist says. I will praise him again, because he is going to help me. He is going to come through. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. What happens when our soul is cast down? What should we do when we're not feeling right about things? Oh, woe is me. Oh, look, somebody's beating me up. Oh, just somebody should feel bad for me. No, when that happens, I will remember you, Lord. And from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar, in other words, no matter how far, how high this thing goes, I'm going to call out to you. It's verse 7, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Well, because you left the things of God. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him again. I will go to church. I will worship with the saints. I will eat with the saints again. The help of my countenance and my God. That's encouraging yourself in God. That's finding out who you are, figuring it out. Oh, this whole thing is coming against me. This may not seem right. This hurts. But I am not going to leave the fellowship. I am going to seek God. I am going to put my hope in God. I am going to put my trust in God. And God is going to come through. And I will praise him again. And I will worship with the saints again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Jude 20, 21. There's only one chapter of Jude, so when I say 2021, it's just verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, listen, this is important. Somebody needs to underline this today. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you build up your faith? You pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Build yourself up. Church, brothers and sisters, it is so important that we build ourselves up. Amen? Then when you build yourself up, you know what you're going to be able to do next? Speak only Christ's gospel. When you have built yourself up on Christ and not the things of man, when you have built yourself up on the things of heaven and not the things of this world, then the words out of your mouth will be only Christ's gospel. Can I tell you today that there are a lot of other gospels being preached in churches around this country today? And the people in the pews are buying it. They're soaking it in. And they're buying it up hook, line, and sinker. They're falling for it. In fact, when you listen to some believers and hear what they think is in the Bible, it'll make you sick if you know the Bible. I'm like, never heard that before. Jesus didn't say that. My Jesus didn't say that. But people don't understand. And this isn't anything new in the church. Listen to me. This isn't because of COVID. This isn't because of we're in the the 2000s. No, living in the year 2000. No. This is something that's been going in the church, and Paul talks about it way back in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So in other words, there's no new gospel. They're perverting the things that Jesus said. Maybe they want to make it comfortable for today's society. Maybe they want to make it mean something to them that they know that it doesn't mean, but this way they can justify what they do. We have that all over the place today in the church. But even if we, listen to what Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul basically says, run. If somebody's preaching another gospel, run. Get out of that place. Get out of that church. Shut that TV off. Turn the radio off. If somebody's speaking something different to you than what's in the Bible, than what you know to be true, get away from them. This is why you need spiritual discernment. There are so many people sitting in pews today that don't have the spiritual discernment to know the difference. And so Paul says, basically, run away from such teachers. Get out of the way from them. And yet people by the millions are tuning in to their TV shows. People are listening to the radio programs and being lulled to sleep by an unbiblical but comforting word from God, small g. And I say small g because I don't know what God it's really from. But I know it's not from my capital G God. I know that. Because that's not what my capital G God, the God of the universe, had to say when he wrote his word. Amen. So be sure that you're speaking only the gospel of Christ. Be sure that you're only speaking his words over people's lives. Let's not mess them up any more than they already are. Be sure that you have heard from him first in your own life before you try to speak into the lives of others. Listen to me. The Lord gave me this. If it's not his, capital H-I-S, word, if it's not his word, it's only words. But if it is his word, then it's word. You know, as the young people say, that's probably back in the 80s. They probably don't even say that today. It's word. What am I trying to say? It's truth. It's gospel. You can bank on it. It's real. Amen? So we have to be speaking the word of God. We want to speak every other word. We want to tell them how they should feel. We want to tell them how to get through this. No, speak the word of Jesus Christ. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It will bring effect. It will bring change. It will make a difference. Speak Christ's gospel. Stop speaking man's gospel. And then lastly, in leading people to Christ, because that's what we're talking about, or leading them to the man in the middle, because we want to put Christ back in the middle, serve people like Christ served them. Go the extra mile. We don't need a message on this today. Jesus already said it so well. Look at Matthew 5, 40 to 42. Listen to this. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. You know, they wore two coverings at the time. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, we listen to these scriptures, we say, wow, Jesus really wants us to serve. He's not talking about serving here. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about retaliation. This is how we are to treat those who set out to hurt us, who sue us, who expect us to do something for them without, you know, in not good terms. They just want to make us hurt. This is how he says to respond to them. You know, if they sue you, then give them your cloak also. Give them besides what they asked for. If they want you to go a mile, you know, if they're, oh, woe is me. Can you hang out with me for a day? Oh, my gosh, that'll be torture. But I'll give you 2 days. Give to him who asks you. Now, they're not asking. They're suing you. They're requiring it of you. And you know what? If somebody wants to borrow from you also, then don't turn away from that either. Listen, how's that match up with the thoughts and teachings of today's society, with the world's gospel? Right? You're not doing none of that for anybody. It doesn't match up to the world's gospel. You see, that's a different gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look over at Mark 10. This is what he says about serving. Mark 10, 41 to 45. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. And they're great. Let me just make sure. I think I missed something there. Yeah. Verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. James and John are arguing. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus hears it. And so Jesus sets the record straight, and he brings this discourse up to his disciples. Servanthood is the key, church. That's what opens people's lives for us to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we serve them, when we care about their needs, when we care about them. Remember, God cares about the world. Our Christ-like servanthood will lead people to Jesus Christ. They'll lead them to the man in the middle, not ourselves, not just our church, but to Jesus Christ, and he will be seen in their lives. My brothers and sisters, this is the church that we need to be today. I'm running out of time. This is the church that we need to be today. And I want to ask you in your prayer time this week to pray about this message. Maybe you need to watch it again and listen to it again. Ask the Lord in your prayer this week to give you a passionate concern for yourself so that you can fulfill his passionate concern about his church, and that the church can fulfill his passionate concern about the world around us. So we need to pray, Jesus, help me see myself in your light. Lord, help me see the church in the way that you want it to be. Help me be a part of that. And then God, help me help my church minister to the world, because that's where you have sent us out to. As you pray that prayer, pray that in everything that we set out to do at this church, that he would truly be, Jesus would truly be the man in the middle, that only Jesus would be seen, that the people who we minister to would come to recognize Jesus and his love for them, not just that there's a church on the corners of Route 54 and Jackson Road that cares for them. I would also ask you this week in prayer to seek God's face for how you do this in your life, so that you can be a part of it in our church, and that our church would come to touch many new lives with the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus wants to see happen in our church. That's what we need to pray for abundant living. And I pray that you will be a part of it. And I pray that you online, if you're local, that you'd come out and be a part of this, because God is building something up this summer that is going to be amazing. And we have this Apple Fest coming up, and I don't know what that's going to look like. There's good people planning it, but I just have a sense that this is a launch from this series of messages this summer into the loving and caring and being the church that God has called us to be in the community. I don't know how the two go together, but I know that there's a connection. And I know that this has not been upon Brother Dan's or Sister Mary Lee's heart for nothing, but that God is doing something great. Will you be a part of that with us? I want to pray.